Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Today is Thursday, the 31st of January. I want to give, first of all, a shout out to my daughter, Sherelle. She is 15 years old today. And I want to say in public that I thank Allah for her over and over again. But getting to the program at hand, we are so excited because tomorrow is February the 1st, and February, yes, it's Black History Month. Yes, it is the Super Bowl. But the biggest thing of all, the crowning event of the month is Savior's Day. And this year, Savior's Day 2013 will be held at the Chicago Hilton Hotel right here in downtown Chicago, in what we call the South Loop. And so those who come in for this extraordinary event, not only will you experience a great deal in terms of the substance of the convention, but the location will put you very close to the south side of Chicago with its powerful and iconic history, close to Mosque Mariam, the flagship of the Nation of Islam, the Salam Restaurant, the National House, and all sorts of experiences. And yet you will also be within walking distance of all of the city's great legendary architecture and activity. So we are really, truly looking forward to Savior's Day. I want to remind all of you to visit avaspeaks.com so that you can obtain lectures in the form of CDs, DVDs, and books. And I want to now move into what is going on in the world around us. And you know, Elevated Places is a talk show, so it's driven by you, the caller, and the listeners. You can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/elevated places, blogtalkradio.com/elevated places. And, of course, our call-in number, 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. So tweet your friends, contact them on Facebook, and tell them we are about to have a deep discussion tonight. And we couldn't have a discussion that's exciting as well as profound if it were not for my fabulous co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Well, alaikum salam, Safeva. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm wonderful, and it is always so good to hear your voice. I was so delighted to look out into the audience at Mosque Mariam, as our dear, powerful brother, Nuri Muhammad, taught the lecture this Sunday. And look out and see Brother Terrence, the traveling man. And I'm telling you, one of these days I'm going to bust you. I know you're part of a triplet team. But it was so good to see you here in the Windy City. Yes, sir. So I want to, first of all, I want to pull our Elevated Places analyst and contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, into the conversation. Then I want to swing back to you so you can take us into what's going on. Dr. Ridgely, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Minister Ava and Brother Terrence.
Good to have you on. Always good to hear your voice. And the listeners are always excited to hear what Dr. Ridgely has to say. He's a no-holds-barred analyst, and he's also an agricultural economist. So he's about what we're about on this show, which is independence, and there is no such thing without land acquisition. So thank you, Dr. Ridgely. This is going to be a good discussion tonight. We're going to be joined later in the program by two phenomenal brothers out of Houston, Texas, and they're going to talk about one of the most exciting events at Savior's Day. I think it ranks probably second only to the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and that is the one and only drill competition. And so we're going to hear from two of our phenomenal drill participants, one of whom is a DI out of one of our winning cities, and that is Houston, Texas. We'll be hearing from them tonight. So, Brother Terrence, what's happening, brother?
Well, you know, I have to start there. As Muslims, we always start and say, inshallah, that if it be the will of God that we do this or we do that. So because it was the will of God, as we watched the weather, I'm right now sitting in the Newark airport, Newark, New Jersey airport, because lost fit for me not to go to Philadelphia. And the reason why I say that is because we need to pay attention to Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the weather patterns. I remember a couple of weeks ago it snowed in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I looked outside and there was thundering and lightning in a snowstorm. So these weather patterns are changing as we're getting prepared. A lot of people, the Sierra Club, some other organizations, Hip Hop Caucus, are doing a mass rally in D.C. on February 17th on climate control. But we know who controls the weather patterns, so they can discuss climate control, but we understand who's in control of that. We also want to remind everybody, as you did, about Savior's Day is coming up February 24th, the keynote address. Go to NOI.org, but also keep tuning in to Minister Farrakhan on every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central and 7 p.m. Eastern, and hear his 52 lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done. Also, we got word that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking in Phoenix, Arizona. The buzz is getting out that he will be speaking at the mosque in Phoenix, Arizona this coming Sunday. And I also want to go back to what you said about me being in that wonderful windy city of Chicago. It was so exciting. There's many stars and superstars that I be around in the world. It was such a wonderful day, time to spend time with the believers in Chicago. But the best time I had was when I went by that wonderful Palace of the People, the Salam Restaurant.
Oh, God,
and I'm telling everybody, you need to visit the Salam Restaurant on 79th Street in Chicago. It is the best. And the best time I had was on Sunday when I was there speaking with our Chief of Staff, Brother Lennon, and Brother Burvey was there. But I actually got to realize that I helped pay for that restaurant. So I jumped up and started waiting tables and serving people at the Salam Restaurant after I partook in that wonderful display buffet that they had on a Sunday. So it was a wonderful time with the believers and actually work in our restaurant. So it was a wonderful thing. And as I close out, as you said, February is what we know as Black History Month, and tomorrow, February 1st, marks 53 years of the Woolworth sit-in movement in Greensboro, North Carolina, with four freshmen set down. But also the conversation that I was just on a conversation yesterday with the White House and some other faith leaders concerning the new civil rights movement called immigration. And that's one of the big things that are going on throughout the country. As we know, President Obama brought out speaking about his immigration reform. So there's a lot of buzz going around about what that means and what that is and how certain people are seeing as immigrants coming over here and struggling. I don't know where that part of history came for black people being immigrants coming over here and working hard to be a part of this American dream. But I know our brothers are going to have a hard fight with this new thing called immigration reform. So we're looking to see how that turns out as we continue to see violence in America also, this gun control and violence that's going on and more killings and shootings as we're seeing occurring in our nation.
And that brings me to something I wanted to talk about, both of those things, the revisionist history that's being put out, and that includes our president and certain prominent black people such as Reverend Al Sharpton, who are helping to spread this revisionist history. But we here in Chicago are mourning the murder of a young sister, Hadiya Pendleton. And this was a 15-year-old girl, a sophomore at Martin Luther King High School. This killing happened 2 days ago, and every single shooting death, every murder is tragic and horrific. But this one really, really hit home. This young girl was beautiful, physically beautiful, very attractive. She was a high achiever, honor roll student. She just returned from Washington, D.C., where the King High School Band participated in the inaugural parade. Hadiya was a majorette with the marching band. She was looking forward to going to Paris this summer to be part of an exchange program. This young sister was killed in an area, historic area, which I hope to teach on in the near future and bring back to our memory. And for many of us, didn't know about it at all, but the Bronzeville area of Chicago, very famous. And when I talk about migration, the real immigration, the biggest one that ever took place in the 20th century, was 6 million black people leaving the South seeking refuge in the North from the torture and murder and suffering of Jim Crow. And this narrow strip of land, long and narrow, called Bronzeville, where 90% of black people that came up from places like Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, moved to the Bronzeville area. It is historic. Some of the greatest jazz musicians, artists, professional black people lived in that area at the time. And it's adjacent to Hyde Park. Hyde Park is not only the home of President Obama, where his residence is located, but Minister Farrakhan lives there. A lot of our national officials, including Sister Sandy, Brother Ishmael, myself, a lot of us live around, live in Hyde Park and near it, us other believers. It's not far from Mas Mariam. And this young girl, they had exams at King High, and they had let out early, and it was raining that day, and so she and some of her friends, they had decided to hang out a little bit at a park nearby the school, and it started to rain, and so they went under one of those bus shelters, those glass shelters that you stand under when you're waiting on the bus or when you're in the park and you need to get out of rain. And as she and her friends were there, somebody drove up in a car, a black youth, young male, jumped out the car and fired 5 shots at them. They started running, and as they ran, Hadiya yelled out to one of her friends, "I think I'm hit." And her friend said, "Oh, stop playing," and she at fell to the ground. She had, in fact, been shot in the back and died shortly after that. This child is the oldest of a father and mother. She comes out of a two-parent home. She's got a 10-year-old brother who she was very close to, and the city is devastated behind this loss. To my knowledge, at this point, they have not yet caught the shooter, but they feel that they are going to do that. And so we will, and as the nation, be reaching out, helping to the degree that we can in any way with the family. This is yet another loss to our community. This was somebody who had a very bright future and was on her way to being a superb contribution to society. And she has been robbed of her future, robbed of the experience of marriage, motherhood, adulthood. All of the excitement of life's events that she was looking forward to are gone. And it goes back to Minister Farrakhan's lecture series that he began back in the 1980s at the Final Call and was warning us against even then, called Respect for Life. There simply is no respect for life, and I'm talking about among us. And so this is one of the reasons that Elevated Places is devoted to the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because you can live in Hyde Park, in Kenwood. Kenwood is an area that's where Minister Farrakhan, as I said, and President Obama live, and it's an upscale area, and Kenwood is even more upscale within an upscale area. And King High School, it's a Chicago public school, and it is a selective enrollment school. You have to meet a certain grade standard and be vetted in order to go to that school. When it first came out in the news, the media was saying that all of the children standing there were gang members. Not a single one of those children is a gang member. That it was primarily a group of girls who are all, including Hadia, they're all members of the volleyball team. And so this whole stereotypical label that is put on all young black people, that it's just like slavery, three or more of us gather, and suddenly, you know, we're a gang. And so the only solution, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been teaching us, and Minister Farrakhan is carrying the banner now, the best and only solution is separation. We can't go from one neighborhood to another. There's no escape. Somebody had mentioned that Hadia's family, I don't know if it's true, I don't think it is, but someone mentioned they were considering moving to Naperville. Naperville is an overwhelmingly white, upscale suburban area, probably 40 miles outside of Chicago. And I said to somebody when I heard it, I said, yeah, she can move to Naperville, the family can move to Naperville, and at some point you're going to have a new town. You know, so you may not have the same sort of situation, but what white youth do is they sit and they wait, and they come with their automatic assault weapons and take out 30 people at a time. And so it's not about a neighborhood. It is not about an area. It is not about income or even ethnic background or any of that. It is about the paradigm of the white man that is in complete rebellion to God. That paradigm that we live in is the problem, and the only solution is for us to go for self. So I didn't mean to get on the soapbox, but this was a really upsetting event. And so tonight we should be hearing from our brothers shortly, but in the interim, we're going to go ahead and continue on our subject of separation and what's been going on recently. And, of course, we invite the listeners to join the conversation at 347-324-5900. 5091. Dr. Ridgely, you are a prolific writer, and your articles are always well-researched, well-thought-out. I was very impressed to see a writing that you were kind enough to share on the movie Django, which continues to be the center of conversation in the black community and beyond. And you have an article called Django Retrained.
Yes.
Separation, not destruction. I was very impressed with that, and I'll say why, but I'd like you to lead off with, you know, what prompted you to do that article.
Well, you know, first of all, I probably write better than I talk, so hopefully I can kind of explain it without getting too stuttering too much. But anyway, there was a couple of things that fascinated me about the movie, and as Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us, that when the white man, when he does a movie that's supposedly a fiction, he'll have some truth slipped in there. And like we did with Lincoln, when he does a movie that's supposed to be historic, he'll sneak a couple lies in there on you as well.
Yeah.
But there were a number of myths. He erred in him projecting slavery. You know, I noticed that in the movie, not one black man was killed directly by a white man, and neither was a black woman raped by a white man. But most of the killing was done by black men, except for the one white guy who was training the Django to kill. And so I began to be suspicious, and therefore I kept my eyes open. And as to what the game they were playing with the people, but when it got down towards the end, there was a speech given by Stephen, who was portrayed by Samuel Jackson, and that speech, that's when, you know, Django had, you know, freed his wife from Candy, the Candy Plantation, Candyland, and he had, you know, he had shot up. I mean, he must have killed 50 white people
right.
in this one plantation. I mean, he was a real killer. And then in the end, he shot Samuel Jackson, who was Uncle Tom is not the proper name for him. This man had completely morphed into the slave master's second self. And he, you know, it was you know, as we sit master, I mean, it was that type of thing. You know, he really was in the master, in the white folks. And when Django shot him in the knees and left the house to with a bomb, he put a bomb in there, some dynamite, and started a fuse. The character Stephen started saying things, which, you know, it's too many N-words in it for me to say at all, okay?
Right.
But it was basically started off with, "Sweet Jesus, let me kill this, you know what." In other words, he hated a Django, and he was telling Django, "You ain't going to get away with this, Django. They're going to catch you, your black so-and-so. You're going to be on the wanted posters. Now, the bounty hunters going to be looking for you. You can't run, but they going to find your, you know, words there. And when they do, oh, Lord, what they going to do, your, et cetera, they ain't going to just kill you. You done effed up. This is Candyland. We've been here, and there's always going to be a Candyland. Can't no N-word gunfighter kill all the white folks in the world. They could find your black so-and-so. Django, you uppity son of a..." And then there was explosion. Well, that type of attitude reminds me of when we out sometimes selling papers and we talk to our people about the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Ms. Farrakhan, and once you beat them in understanding the history of the Bible, they'll come back with something like, well, you know, y'all talk all that mess, but the white man got the money and the gun, and Farrakhan, sooner or later, he going to get what's coming to him. Y'all go get it. So this is the attitude that our people have. They're so afraid of the white man. They see him as God of the planet, and they don't believe that no black man nor a God, period, can stop the white man from doing whatever the white man wants to do to us or anybody else. So when someone like Minister Farrakhan stands up and defends his people, and white folks call him a racist, a bigot, a anti-Semite, a homophobic, and all that, black folks get scared. So, oh, Lord, you done messed up now. Oh, Lord, them white folks will get y'all now. It's just a matter of time. Y'all need to get away from me because I ain't with this. And to me, that Samuel Jackson played that part to the hilt. And to me, it was a sight, an insight into the mind of the so-called American scared Negro. And a lot of our black leaders, you know, they're so afraid of Massa that they can't even say Farrakhan's name. You know, they talk all around him. That's just how afraid they are. So I really enjoyed that part of the movie because to me it was like taking a microscope looking into the brain of a so-called American Negro, Uncle Tom Skid folk.
And you know, it goes all the way back to the biblical narrative of Moses and Aaron.
Right.
And the fact that the children of Israel, which we are the true children of Israel, it was not that they rejected the message of Moses and Aaron. They loved the message, and deep down in their DNA, they knew it was true and they wanted it to be true, but they did not believe that anyone had more power than Pharaoh.
That's right.
And I think you're bringing out an excellent point. I love your analysis because that among other things, was the core of the Samuel L. Jackson character. And that person exists not just as the caricature he played, all the way up to when President Obama ran for the presidency and was forced to denounce the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on national television.
That's
and,
right.
You know, when Tim Russert brought it up and pressed it, and Obama had to separate himself and distance himself, it was Hillary Clinton intervened and would not let it rest until he used the word denounce.
Mm. That's right.
You know, so even though he wasn't using the language that the Samuel Jackson character used, it was on a much higher level, but it just proves that nothing has changed.
That's
and,
right.
And it's so deep, Ava, that, you know, I go back to when I said about Dougie Fresh at that Hip Hop Award, and you're in a room with black the entertainers that are making millions and millions and millions of dollars. And even though Dougie Fresh is seen as one of the greatest hip-hop artists of all time, he's from the old school, so he is not making the million-dollar contract as those that are out in the record industry now. And he said that, you know, he's not scared to – I mean, it's deep when you say you're not scared to say his name. Not say you support, you know, you down with, you rolling with, you supporting, you giving money to, you part of the nation, just to say his name, just to have his name come on your tongue. You know, that's deep when you say that. And it's even deeper that black folks that are so Christian, so God-fearing, so God-loving, so Jesus Christ, and against the nation, but they are so scared when they see us speaking against them. They say, y'all better, you know they, you know what they're going to do to y'all. You know, as though that they are giving them and they in their DNA that they fear them so much. And they're not going to tell you they fear, but their actions show that they fear. when they say that the old folks going to get you, who are they? Who are those folks? And that same thing came up the other night in a community meeting, and we were speaking about somebody cutting through one of the universe's land. And I said, oh, so y'all know what this is all about. The city ain't trying to do nothing. They trying to take the land from the university. We already know that. Y'all need to stop playing games. And then somebody said, well, you know, they gonna, you know, they ain't gonna give us no more money if we don't do something. And somebody asked her, what do you mean they? Who is they? And that was the question. Who are these they that you so scared of that they, you know, and that they gonna give y'all no more money if y'all take this offer? You know, so that step in fashion, you know, is still there. Bowing
and
down.
And you know, that they that you it's so powerful that it doesn't have to be a specific white person or a white person of proven stature,
right,
or weight. It's just anybody white. So it's they,
right.
And like you said, Dr. Rizzi, the Samuel Jackson character, they gonna get your black A's. Such a see they and but then they show Jamie Foxx completely obliterate the house, and the underlying significance of that is that and this is where we're gonna break from this conversation because we got our brothers on the phone to discuss the upcoming Savior's Day drill competition. And we're going to come back to this after because we got callers that want to comment. But the fact of the matter is Jamie Foxx was so intelligent and possessed such skills in terms of strategy. And in blowing up the house, he destroyed any evidence so that as far as those who came after knew, he was in there as well.
Right.
There was nobody left alive to explain what had happened. So
if
you say
to
yell out at him, they're
going to
get you for what?
But you know,
they won't even understand what took place here.
But you know, while we praise him for doing that, but at the same time in the article, I also emphasize that we need to retrain Django, meaning that he's been trained to kill and that he was a very good killer, but now we need to train him to build. We're not after killing white folks one by one or a whole bunch of them. You know, we'll let God take care of that. He's already taken care of that. We have to train that into doing something for self. And so a lot of people are afraid of the Nation of Islam, and in particular Minister Farrakhan, and even yourself, Minister Ava, when you show those pictures of the lynchings, that they're afraid that, you know, we don't want our young people to know about that because they might go out and become a Django and kill up people. But we don't teach that. We don't carry weapons. What we teach is to separate, because they are the killers. And we want to separate and do for ourselves and let God take care of the killing. So I have to emphasize that, too, in my article, is that we offer a different solution. It was fun seeing what he did, but that's not the solution at this time.
And the other thing they have to understand, but see, your average white male especially, but the average white person, because America, as we know, is so dumbed down, will not play out in their mind because of white supremacy. And black inferiority, because like both of you are pointing out, we think they're God.
Right.
So what's not going to be understood is, so there's no respect for our perception of and response to a situation. Jamie Foxx didn't kill anybody in there that was not a threat to him.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like he just got up and said, I'm just going to run out of here and kill 50 white people. 50 white people tried to kill him. He would have walked out and left a note, a thank you note, if they had responded properly. You know, but he could not get out without defending himself.
Well, you know, too, he did say one powerful thing, you know, before he shot what you call him in the knees.
Yeah.
He told the black folks, You say, y'all need to
get away.
Y'all need to separate. Y'all need to leave. Y'all need to separate from these white folks right here.
Yeah.
You know, these other words.
He said, get away from these white folks.
Y'all, what did he say?
He said, you all need to get away from these white folks.
Right. So, you know, he did give the proper solution in terms of separation on the one hand.
And they did.
If we let Masrurah Muhammad do the killing on the other hand, then all will work out well.
Yes, sir. So, listen, we're going to we'll be going to the phone shortly. In the meantime, we're so delighted to have two phenomenal brothers on the line out of one of my favorite cities in the nation, which is Houston, Texas. That's just such a great, great mosque down there. And Brother Minister, Student Minister Robert Muhammad and the Laborers and Believers down there are so dedicated and make such great representation on behalf of Minister Farrakhan in the nation. And, of course, as we opened up the show talking about tomorrow's February, and we're now in Savior's Day season officially. And so we're going to be talking every show about the upcoming Savior's Day. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the most exciting events during Savior's Day, I would rank it second only to the message of Minister Farrakhan, is the drill competition. So I want to welcome Brother Ray Muhammad and Brother Tariq Muhammad out of Houston, Texas. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Good. Now, who is this speaking?
This is Brother Ray.
Brother Ray, yes, sir. Well, welcome to Elevated Places. We're honored to have you. And is Brother Tariq on the line as well?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, praise is due to Allah. I do hear some background. I don't know if there's a radio or something on that we can turn down, if at all possible. But I want to thank you all for coming on. And, of course, we want to know about – I think, Brother Ray, you're a drill instructor, are you not?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Yes. And, of course, this is such an exciting experience. We all look forward to it. It's always standing room only. Attendance is in the thousands, and it gets bigger every year.
Yes, ma'am.
What is it that makes drill in and of itself so important to the development of the black man and woman, in your view?
Let me first thank you for having us on.
Definitely
an honor and a pleasure to be on your show. But to answer your question, I would use the words of a brother we was out about a month ago. The Honorable Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan have us out in the community, going door to door, and we was in the community and drilling, and a brother came up to us and he said, "You see those young brothers over there?" Pointing to the young brothers, looked like they were 6 or 7, that was in a neighborhood. And he said that what y'all are doing is so important for them to see a black army that is organized and unified under one common purpose. So that's what I would say is the main purpose for our for what we call the exercise of the God's drilling is to set an example of the teachings of the Most Honorable Muhammad to our community.
Yes, sir. So what can we look forward to this year at the drill competition?
Much excitement,
yes,
much competition. Like you said in the opening of your show, you know, this is the second most popular event of Savior's Day, second to the main event, which is Minister Farrakhan speaking on Sunday. You know, you have brothers and sister teams all over the nation that are preparing right now to to drill in the national competition. Tomorrow night we have to send in our preliminary drill tapes, which will then by Tuesday let everybody know who will be drilling in the national competition. So, you know, right now it's on 100%. Everybody's excited and you know, ready and looking forward to it to the drill competition.
And you know, to me, just in the wake of the discussion we're having on the Scared Negro prototype,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes, ma'am.
I think nothing is more powerful from in terms of the optics of drill than the competition in overcoming that fear
right.
that Negroes have developed, because you just don't see Black people like that anywhere.
Right.
And to see
right.
it all the way down, those little babies that are
man.
Barely past preschool age, I mean,
right.
getting out there drilling, the little brother that actually calls the cadences, that just
right.
sends shivers through me. I don't know about anybody. Well, I do know everybody pretty much feels the same. That's why there's
right.
nowhere to sit. But I would say to the audience that the drill competition alone is enough reason to come to Savior's Day.
Yes, ma'am. And the brother, I believe you were speaking about, the young brother from last year, he was, I want to say, 6 years old. He was the,
yeah.
did a little exhibition for Chicago's junior FOI. And that, and like you said, it sent chills and shivers for you. But look, just think about the effect that have on the enemy. You know, when he can look
yes,
at
sir.
That young brother, 6 years old, doing what he's doing. You know, so like I said before in the beginning, it is so important. This what we do is so important and makes such a strong statement to our community, because like you said, there's nobody on this planet that do what we do.
That's right.
I would like to add, you know, I am a fan of drilling. For a number of reasons. Number one, it shows brains and obedience.
Mm.
And it shows a Black person giving out orders and Black people, all of them, responding as one. Of course, that's frightening to the enemy, but the brains, the discipline, the respect, and the love that the drill competition shows is powerful. And I'm just want to say one more thing. I was at the when the minister announced the Million Man March in New York at the Armory, and I was outside getting people to come in. And by the time I got in, the drilling was over. New York drill. I didn't see it, but the spirit in the among the brothers in that building was incredible. If the minister had asked us to go and climb the Empire State Building, we would have done it that night. I mean, that's a fact. And it wasn't until after I saw the video and saw Newark drilling, and they had the floor was vibrating. I mean, when they was drilling, it was so hard that the floor was moving up and down. And it was just the brothers were like geeked in the audience. I mean, to see that power and that obedience and order and love set the stage for Minister Farrakhan coming on stage and directing that force, that army. But that's just how powerful drilling is to the Black man.
Yes, sir.
So, Ava, yes. I just want to jump on here because I'm about
sure.
to get on my flight in a few. But
oh,
I got
yes.
I got to stir up some stuff up in here. I got to stir up a little bit. You know, I just want to say, I know
uh-oh.
Houston's on the call, but I just got to say I'm sad to say Greensboro, North Carolina's not in it, but we was in the early 90s. But I will say that I know Atlanta and Chicago's going neck to neck 2 years ago, Chicago King Strong with my boy Young Joshua, son of the former Supreme Captain Brother Sharif, and that FOI took it, and Chicago didn't like that very well. So this past year, 2012, Chicago came rolling deep. The God Squad came thundering out loud and is trying to show off. So I don't know what Houston is going to do or any other city out there, but I think everybody needs to come strong.
Now,
the drills competition.
I ain't finished yet.
Let's jump on to the sister side. Because we know Chicago brought out, and I think it was 2011, with sister former Nashville sister Aisha fell in there. Then we know sister LaShawn down the ATL, the Vanguard. And I remember 1997 when the sisters, the junior Vanguard from Philadelphia, performed at a special believers meeting for the minister, you know, in 97. So I'm saying the drill competition does bring in that spirit of competition, but as Doc said, but everybody's in uniform and everybody's cracked. It's almost like you're in a drill competition as to who's best at being obedient to Allah, because you're listening to that one call, that one command, and trying to be in perfect harmony and perfect unity. So it's a beautiful thing to see the competition across the nation of seeing basically who can be the best in their discipline and obedience to the instructions and call that are given. So that's a beautiful thing to be in competition about.
That's
and
right.
Don't forget the choreography.
Oh, yeah.
The theater and the uniforms. And I just have to throw this in here from old school. Let us not forget 1999. When Sister Minister Ava Muhammad and Sister Captain Charlene drilled with the Vanguard under the direction of Sister LaShonda, and we won first place. Oh, yes, I do recall that.
Here we go. It's your show. You got it right.
Oh, that's just
okay,
history,
now.
I know it's history, but, you know. History rewards research, you know what I'm saying?
But now Houston is about to make history on February 23rd.
Here we go.
Yes, making it first place. So that's going to be history in the making right there.
So
on Sunday, you're going to say, oh, yeah, you remember when the FOI from Muhammad Mosque number 45 won first place on February 23rd? 2013.
Oh,
yeah,
brother.
So we're going to bring it home. And everything that an FOI embodies, or what an FOI should stand for, that's what's going to be on that stage
day.
Praises due to
everybody listening out there. Giddy up.
Oh, yes. We're coming hard. We're coming strong.
Well,
I also want to shout out one of my big brothers from Houston, Texas. He is going through an illness right now, pancreatic cancer, and he is my blood cousin, and we want to give him a shout-out as an honorary drill team member and a longtime FOI brother, Ruben Muhammad. We just want to tell him that we love him, and we're going to bring back that first place just for him.
Well, he has our prayers and love, too, and you just made me recall, and we're going to talk about it more in the next week or so. There will be a plenary session at Savior's Day this year combating cancer, because cancer is at an epidemic rise, and again, it's because we live in the parameters of a world that is going out. I'm a cancer survivor, and of course, it's a chronic disease, so you have to be vigilant against it. But I want to say to the believers and people listening, and if you have family members, please come to that event, because we're going to have health practitioners, we're going to have cancer survivors, and we want you to know, if you ever get that diagnosis, do not take it in secret and alone, because it's very important to have those who love you pray for you and give you their support. So I really thank you all, and I pray, Brother Ruben, for you, and I know that Allah is with you. He is the best knower.
Yes,
so I want
to
thank
Allah.
You both, Brother Ray and Brother Tariq, for coming on Elevated Places. I'm going to get to the drill competition as early as possible. Probably
yes,
by next year, you're going to have to get sleeping bags and sleep outside, you know, the night before. To
you
get
might just
going.
Have to do that this year.
And I think we were, but
year.
I'll tell you, I wanted us to get UIC, and we waited too long. But I think that we're reaching the level we need to do exhibitions for the black community, the broader-based black community, especially the youth.
Yes,
yes, ma'am.
Because going back to what Dr. Ridge is saying about Django, retrained,
right, right.
To take that power of the black man and woman in the right direction. And if we talk about wanting to attract the youth, as we're taught, as the minister says, the reason they join gangs, they're looking to belong. They're looking
that's
for
right,
a brotherhood
yes,
and a sisterhood. And so,
yes, ma'am.
But they're not punks. They want to be part of something of strength.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Yes, ma'am. We definitely witnessed that. One of the times that we went out to go push with the FOI, and we went out in the streets as instructed by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We had a videotape. I don't know if anybody has seen it or not, but when the FOI was calling out the cadence, you had one brother out in the community, three brothers actually, but one of the brothers that you heard very clearly, he said that this is the best thing to ever happen in this community since he was a little boy.
That's
so the drill, so the drilling is not only illustrating what embodies an FOI, but that is that our attractive force or
right.
our fishing, you know, our fishing rod to bring our people into the Nation of Islam to show them that there's another brotherhood that stands on truth, that stands on brotherhood, and that believes in Allah and believes that He is the best knower and the best of planners.
That's
so
right.
we have to. So that is a very, very important key in order to get our people, or just to attract our people to what embodies a black man in America, and to know that they are like us, and that we are the original people of this planet Earth.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you again. Thank you both. And we look forward to seeing you all here in Chicago. And may Allah bless you all. You better practice hard, though, because we're gonna try to take it. I'm telling you.
Yes, we already got it.
All right. Love you
yes,
both.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Love you, too. May Allah continue to bless you and your family. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All right, beautiful. I'm so excited. Now we're gonna pick back up on our discussion, and we've had Brother Donald call on the line for quite some time, so he had a comment earlier, and I'm gonna open up his mic, and we're gonna get back into our discussion. And really, Brother Donald, do we have you on the mic?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam and assalamu alaikum to all.
Yes, sir.
I just want to bring out something from the Quran, Surah 27, verse 82, which I think is very relevant in these days and time. And that verse reads, "When the word is proved true against them, we shall bring forth a beast from the earth that will speak to them, and that the people did not believe in our messages." And the reason I think this verse is important and relevant is because I think that this verse specifically speaks through and through to us as a people. The them who the word shall be proved true against is us as a people. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is currently speaking to us in a 52-week lecture series called The Time and What Must Be Done. And in this 52-week lecture series, there's a message, and the message there is a word of warning and a word of guidance. And if we as a people do not heed the word of warning, then that word will be proved true against us. Now, I noticed that it uses the term a beast and not the beast. And I think that is because it's not speaking of the beast that is devouring the nations, the major beast, but it is speaking of a beast that will be produced from us as a people. That is a generation that will come from us that will have absolutely no respect for life and no respect for peace. Mm-hmm. And we see that developing right now. And that is why I think that the work that the minister has us on, the FOI on, going into the communities to reach our people with the message of love, peace, and unity is so, so important. That, and I think that we should continue to pick that mission up and walk with it as the minister has instructed us, because, yeah, as I said, the word is I think after this 52-week lecture, we are in danger of that word being proved true against us.
Yes, sir.
The second thing that I wanted to comment on was the movie The Django. I think that this movie is a movie that is presented to us as well as white people to override the picture of the peaceful Nation of Islam that is growing in this country and going among our people and having a big influence.
Are we still on?
Yes.
Okay, I think we lost him. I think we lost Brother Donald. But he was saying he was in agreement with you, Dr. Ridgely, because that's
right.
What your article is saying, that mm-hmm. One of the several ways the movie has the dangerous aspects and misleading aspects, all of this violence, indicating that we will come in some sort of vindictive way, just wild and in a rage.
Right, and they had this white man Schultz with a smaller hat. Short as the guide. I look at Moses and the wise man in the Quran, and he was acting as a guide and a prophet of God to Django, leading him down this trail of cold blooded killing. And that's just the opposite that what we do in the Nation of Islam. When we teach our people the truth, we lead them away from self destruction and also trying to fight the white man. I'm just going to say this is very real. When I was before I came into the nation, when I was at Columbia University, I used to sit around and think about how many white folks I could kill before I got killed. But when I heard the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and accepted that, I said I let God take care of that. I don't have enough guns to do that. And if Master Farah Muhammad has a plane up there, I'll let that happen. Let me go ahead and do some work to benefit my people and separate my people from this beast so God can take a good shot at him. So I don't sit around hating white folks anymore. I just try to get away from them and get my people away from them and let God take care of the rest.
Exactly. And that's really, it's amazing how this teaching has such a calming effect on the rage.
That's right.
Almost all black people are outraged, and that's why we have these passive-aggressive personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the main Negroes that chide us and accuse us of not loving everybody, they're the passive-aggressive Negroes, the ones on the plantation that ground up glass and put it in their scrambled eggs.
No black folks can be trusted anymore now anyway, so we might as well go and unite and do for self, because when 2 million black men showed up at the Million Man March and 99% of those were Christians and all of them said Allahu Akbar on the Capitol steps, white folks realized right then they can't trust none of us.
That's right. And President Obama is proof that no amount of appealing to them will change that fact. You're exactly right. Sister Peggy has been holding a while. She has a comment. Let's see if I can get her mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Peggy. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava and the panel. And I would just like to say, I've been thinking about this for a while, that for as long as I can remember, I have seen original peoples on the move, especially from my parents' television. At one time they had this little bitty black and white television, and I would always see them, Africans and Asians and other indigenous people, being uprooted from from their homes, and I saw them carrying their children on their backs and their possessions on their heads. And this was usually because of some despotic act of one of their own leaders, many times supported by America. And over the years, I had become jaded because it seemed to get worse. It became more commonplace and even a lot worse. But if I had allowed myself to stay jaded, I wouldn't have been able to recognize the little victories among our people. And I know two black people who have been working a small business for years and years, and now they're in their late 50s and their 60s, and their businesses are just taking off. They're still healthy, and they're being blessed with networks and financial backing from other black people. And so all I can say is all praises are due to Allah for blessing them to become so successful, because they just continue to work. They never made a lot of money, but they were always able to take care of themselves and their families. But now things are taking off. This one man that I know is, you know, he had been a gardener, not just a gardener, but he had a landscaping business. And now he's going to open up his own garden store, and someone is giving him the financial backing just to do that. And so I'm just saying that, you know, just if you just hold on and just bless Allah for everything that you get, being in gratitude, just blessing Allah, then good things will happen to you.
That's exactly right.
You just have to keep up the good fight. Just keep on working. Just don't give up.
Well, you're right, and it's the we've been taught beautifully, and we know that this is the grip that the 6,000 years is up, and so this is the end. This is the disintegration of this paradigm taking place, and so you're right. Our job is, as Dr. Ridge just said, we're not Allah. Let Allah take care. He's vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. Our job is to follow truth and to work hard. But I thank you, Sister Peggy, so much, as always, for your insight. You know, we've got Dr. Salam on the line. I've been waiting for him. And let me open up the mic so I can. Dr. Salam?
Yes, Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. You know, I've been waiting on you because our technical specialist, Sister LaDonna, pulled up the that little excerpt from Fox 5 that you noted, where Holly uses the anchor, the white woman Holly, uses the word nigger on the air. And so I want to play that so that the listeners can hear this
Please.
Being said in 2013.
Please.
Very much so. Thursday morning. Coming up next, the most expensive way to celebrate the president's second term. Good morning, Holly.
Is there any other way that you would want to celebrate it? Hey, listen, we are live this morning at the Willard Intercontinental Hotel. It's been a key inaugural spot for 150 years. This inauguration, of course, is no exception. They always have special things like this amazing gingerbread house that was created by Gary O'Hanlon, the pastry chef here. It only took him about 220 hours to do it. Take a look at that. We're also going to take a look at some of the other top spots to have a presidential stay live next on Fox 5 Morning News. Stay with us.
Well, I hope everybody heard that.
Thursday morning. Coming up next,
she tried to clean it up, but not fast enough.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Ava, I didn't mean to bring that up at that time to detour you from the wonderful topic that you had, but it just, you know, it had like 100, had a million, one point something million hits on it. After about 6 hours, so that's why I mentioned it, and I knew that you would find it somehow.
Yes, I think it's so critical, and especially tonight that we're back on the analysis of the movie Django. We're talking about Savior's Day and the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, It's just, it's like Allah is showing us everywhere we turn of the futility of continuing to stay with these people.
Right. And you, again, the topic, really the topic could always be separation. And all separation really is, and our people need to know, it is not about where you are in residence. It
right.
is what you are holding on to that you fear letting go. And it simply means, separate just simply means to set apart from others for a special purpose. And that special purpose is to renew the mind. And that's all that really is, to cause one to exist again, to be born again. Because right now we are in a dead state of consciousness. And just as the new birth comes in the umbilical cord that connects a fetus with the placenta of the mother, that cord has to be cut at a certain point so both can live, be separated, but then reunited in peace. When we separate, it's not out of hate, but it's out of enough love for self to want to do for self. And to build a nation, and all a nation is, when they hear N-O-I, there's fear there. But what is a nation? Webster defines it as a stable, historically developed community of a people with a territory, economic life, distinctive culture, and language in common. And that's nothing new. You have said it, you've had guests to say it, and that's all building a nation really is all about. And you present that each and every week so profoundly. But when a people is dead, they fear what they feel is life, and that is a job, and that is the ability to sit with those people, ancestors, who brought us into slavery, to live next door to them, to shop with them, to eat their hog, and to serve them and be at peace with them. But you cannot be peace with the enemy of God.
Precisely.
Thank you, sister. And
thank
I'll continue
you.
To
Yes, sir. And thank you, Dr. Salam, for pointing that remark made over the air to us. And trust and believe, listeners, that the reason those kind of things slip out, I'm still convinced that I said it was going to happen the first term, but I'm convinced before President Obama leaves office, you're going to hear somebody call him that out in what I mean, just out either at the joint session of Congress or at a press conference. Because see, it slips out, Dr. Rizzi, because they say it in private.
Right.
You know, just as frequently as we say assalamu alaikum.
That's right.
When they're among themselves, that's what they call us, niggers.
That's
and
right.
That, you know, the offense that Spike Lee took to the term being used over and over again, the fact of the matter is, Django is probably the only environment that I've seen that term used in where it belongs.
Mm.
You know, where it doesn't belong is in our conversations in 2013. That's where it doesn't belong. But
that's right.
That in 1858, that's the only word.
That's right.
That we were known by. We need to be aware of that.
And
reminded of that. Mm-hmm.
And the meaning of that word, you know, Minister Farrakhan in Atlanta gave the meaning of that word. He said a nigger is a black person who is made in the image of the worst part of the white man.
Yes.
So as Stephen, played by Samuel Jackson, I mean, he was looking at Django the way Master was looking at Jack. As a matter of fact, he saw Django first as a threat and had to let Master know we need to do something about this up to this nigger. Okay? So that nigger is something. something that's made by the white man to do his bidding for him, and in fact, sees danger for the white man even before it sees the danger for its own self. It sees
like a dog, like a guard dog.
That's
barking.
It, you know, it's like a guard dog. He sees danger, and he has to let the white man know, watch that one, watch that one. So, you know, that's what that word really signifies, is really the dog for the enemy. And now we call each other dog. How about that? Used to be God. Now
God
we call each other dog, and that's really the same as
a
nigger.
And you know, that's so profound, because that I talk often about, I was very taken by the dinner scene with Leonardo DiCaprio as Mr. Candy. And the way Samuel Jackson hovered over him, you know, my husband said it was like it's like a second head was growing out of DiCaprio's neck, and he leaned over him, I mean, just closer than a husband and wife,
right.
And everything that the white man said, he echoed it, but he said it with more passion than the white man did. And like you pointed out, when they came up to the so-called big house, he came flying out of the house.
Right.
What is this nigger doing on a nag, on a horse, because it was against the law for a black person to ride a horse, which was the equivalent of an automobile.
Mm-hmm.
And he was stunned, and DiCaprio tried to distract him, you know, and calm him down. He said, well, these are my guests. And he said, aren't you going to greet me, and didn't you miss me? Yeah, I miss you, but I asked you a question. What is this nigga doing on a nag? So, you're right. That's the function of the nigger, as the minister defined it. You know, you're the alter ego, and you're the worst part of them.
That's right.
Now, we've had Sister Elaine holding for quite some time, because this show's going by quickly. Sister Elaine?
Assalamu alaikum, beloveds. Y'all
well,
sounding real wonderful today.
Praises due to Allah.
Yes. I just wanted to say that, you know, I thank Allah for you all and the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan. I think he's doing a wonderful job of, you know, helping people to see the time and what must be done, and giving us the tool of Scientology as well. I'm very thankful for that. I grew up Sunni. I've called in once before. And, you know, my question again is, how do we get people to unify and really understand the need for, you know, the economic blueprint and to work together and not to see the differences? I have differences. You know, I would join on with the nation, but my difference is with the gun situation. I do support the right to bear arms. I think that women, especially women who don't have men in their households, they should have weapons to defend themselves. You know, I was not a gun owner before, but back in 2003, I had my home broken in several times. Me and my daughter, we were violated, you know, and the police, you know, after the second time, you know, the police was like, you know, you really need to get a gun. He was like, whoever this person is, they're watching you, and they can get to you before we can. So since then, I have been armed. So, you know, how can we work together, even though we may have the small differences? Because I really think that the minister is the Christ, who he says he is, but I don't know if I could go and tell my Sunni brothers and sisters that. They would laugh at me, but I know what I feel, and I'll hang up and listen to your response. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for that. That's a profound inquiry. I'll give my little part and then ask the panel. I think Brother Terrence is getting on a plane, but I don't think that it's a disagreement in that you're possessing a gun in a certain environment. This is a violent, warlike people whose environment we live in. And again, this is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that the best and only solution is separation, because in the world that we are building, you would not need a gun or need that type of protection, because you would not even have the remote possibility of that type of violence being perpetrated upon you. That's the difference. It's the mindset of the people, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is calling on those who seek peace. That's what Islam is, peace. Islam is love of Allah, the Creator. It's respect for life. It is respect. The first rule of our society to the men is to protect your woman. And so no man is going to survive even the attempt to assault or even disrespect verbally a female. So it what we are calling us away from is an environment that either, I don't know if it was Dr. Ridger or Brother Terrence, someone said earlier, this is a society that's in rebellion to God's will. And so if we are people who are in complete submission to God's will, then we're diametrically opposed.
That's great. And I feel sorry for the sister that she's in an unprotected environment,
right,
that she feels that the only thing that she can do to defend herself is to have a gun for her protection for her and her daughter. It's a shame that she does not live in a Muslim community where there will be protection for them 24/7. And this is what separation is all about, us developing communities. You know, I say in the Ministry of Agriculture, we talk all the time about either you control the community that you are in or you move to a community that you can control. But there's no need in living in an uncontrolled, savage environment where you are at threat of violence, being broken into, slander. We have to either control the community you're in. If you don't have the power to control that, then you're going to have to move together in the communities that we can control so that we can have peace on earth instead of us worrying all the time about depraved and deviant people.
And, you know, Master Farrar Muhammad, and this is in our lessons, Master Farrar Muhammad came and characterized the white man as a beast and the black man as a savage.
That's right.
So, you know, who do we pick? Who do you want to live next door to? I don't want to live next door to a beast or a savage.
That's right.
I want to live next door. I want to be surrounded on both sides and behind and in front by civilized people.
That's right.
And so we, again, as you're saying, Dr. Rizzi, it's an issue of control. Either you can control it, and that's why I brought up this baby that was killed the other day, this 15-year-old girl.
Yes.
You know, moving from place to place is not the solution, because we still remain in an environment controlled by a people that were made in a nature of rebellion. Dr. Yaqub made them in the nature of rebellion. They're not going to change. So even though they may not have been physically present when that boy shot that girl, they are the ones that manufactured the weapons. They're the ones that put the weapons in the community, made them accessible. And just like your article, Dr. Ridgely, with the white bounty hunter teaching the slave,
that's right,
how to kill in cold blood.
That's right.
Because
and
it was against his nature when
right.
they were poised up on that hill.
That's right.
And he said, "You kill that man, that farmer down there." And he said, "He couldn't do it.
It
went against his nature." And so, as you said in the article, he showed him the wanted ad, the flyer, and said, "This man, you're not killing him for what he's doing right now. You're killing him for what he's done in the past." But see, our sense of justice, that flies against that, to from a distance just gun a man down without due process.
That's right.
You see, but they have taught us to be cold-blooded. And I promise you, when they catch the killer, who's probably also a teenager, it's a 90% probability, statistically, he's a teenager too, he's going to say, as the most recent one they caught that killed another youngster, he's going to say, I don't care. I don't care. They've been,
yes.
Their heart has been gutted out of them.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we don't take time with our children, you know, in the community. Many of us working two or three jobs claiming that we are trying to do something for our children, but nobody takes time with them. And so they just left on their own, and this is how they're showing their rebellion. Minister Farrakhan said that when you feed them artificial milk instead of them breast milk when they're babies, when you send them off, drop them off at the daycare center because, you know, you don't have time to rear them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're being left, and then they're being taught by the TV and now the different video games, which are very violent. So now there's no value in other humans because nobody has saw any value in me. And so this is why when Minister Farrakhan takes the FOI in the community and shows the people that he loves them and that we love them and they have value, then they have a sense where they begin to love themselves and love others like themselves, because before that, this whole world has been turned into a very individualistic type of thing, and nobody cares about you and you don't care about nobody. I'm an individual. Just the opposite of the type of societies that we had when we built the pyramids and did great things, where we all saw each other as one. They have atomized us into like little wildebeest running around separate, and they just chew us up one by one, and then we chew each other up out of fear and hatred for self. So we're going to have to make a decision now. We're at war. The number of people who are dying in communities, in our communities, is just like they're at war in Afghanistan or in Iraq.
Right.
They're dying quicker. So we are at war. We're going to have to take control of ourselves and our community and take some time with our young people to show them that we believe in their future, because we're going to take some time to help them with their future.
That's exactly right. We've got Brother Lewis on the line. As we wind down, he's got a comment, and, of course, we welcome Brother Lewis. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, family. Wa alaikum salam. Sister Ava, I know you just have a little time, so.
Yes, sir. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear from y'all. Dr. Ridgely came to Louisiana, and he did a presentation on land literacy, and the community is still just in an uproar waiting for him to come back again. It was really, really, really good. And my question is, in short, will there be a plenary discussion on separation and land literacy during Savior's Day, where more people can hear that information? And thank you all so much. And thank you for pushing separation.
Yes, and thank you as well for doing the same.
Yes, ma'am.
And I know that one thing that's happening to kick off Savior's Day, on Thursday night, the 21st of February, at the Chicago Hilton in the Grand Ballroom, Elevated Places will air live on location from Savior's Day. And Dr. Ridgely provided the title for us, which is Preparing for Our Exodus.
Amen.
Yes, building righteous and developing righteous and sustainable communities. And so that's gonna kick it off. I know there are some workshops on home ownership, et cetera, but this workshop, this show from Savior's Day is going to deal with land acquisition and then building homes from the ground up, and also communities. One of our panelists, along with Dr. Ridgely, Brother Alexander, our home builder out of Houston, and Brother Kamal Muhammad, the former national secretary, is going to deal with a specific area in the United States, none other than Detroit, Michigan, and what Allah has done to make that city accessible to us, really there for the taking. But it is so critical. Land acquisition is so critical right now. And, of course, you know, the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which Minister Farrakhan will address on Sunday, that's at the root of all of that. He's the only black leader talking about land acquisition. All the rest of the so-called black leaders, they talk about jobs.
Right, and the Minister of Agriculture on Thursday from 3 to 6, also in the Hilton, before Minister Ava's program, we will be having our national meeting where we will be discussing strategies for economic development, land acquisition, and how to get our people involved and trained up to be able to do for themselves. So we're going to have a three-hour of workshop for the Ministry of Agriculture on that Thursday as well.
Yes, yes. Praise is due to Allah. So 2013 promises to be the year of motion, the year of motion. But thank you, Brother Lewis, so much.
Thank y'all. Assalamu
alaikum. Walaikum salam. We're going to take one more caller before we close out. We've got Brother Arthur, and I think this is also coming out of Louisiana. Brother Arthur, assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Walaikum salam. How are you, sister?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Also to Dr. Ridley, who was just on my radio show. I'm on Ken Lewis Media here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay.
And your comment, I'm Silky Slim, by the way, sister, on air, but your comment that the young brother would say that he doesn't care. A little bit of history, and I know your time is short. I'm a former 22-year gang leader, and we haven't been taught to care. And it wasn't until I heard the shock of the hour that I realized that I should care, but it was the way that the minister delivered his message that awakened me as to what I was doing. I can remember in Compton trying to catch some blood, and a man was walking his dog when the shooting started, and the dog broke away from him, and we actually curved and hit a telephone pole and wrecked the car and got out mad because they had got away. So my message there is that we have more respect for the life of a dog than we do our own brothers when we are not taught to care. And so many people are looking at the violence that's taking place in the streets. The person that is teaching us to love and care for each other is being so torn down by the media into everyone is afraid to look at this man. I just met with the minister in October, and he has my documentary, To Live and Die in America. And this is a documentary of young brothers in the streets being gunned down, and we didn't wash it out. We've won 7 awards with that documentary. And we're trying to reach our people through all means necessary because it's important for us to show them what we're doing to ourselves. And the coldest thing about it, if anyone is listening out there that's in the streets, is that we all have to face one thing. Regardless of what type of gangster or what type of barbaric person we think we are in the streets, once the white man puts us in the plantation, he treats us like dogs and animals and beats the hell out of us. And once I realized that if I'm fighting with my own brother in prison and we hear keys and handcuffs coming, we have to say, here come the man and sit on our bed, and then the man comes into the dormitory and asks who's fighting, and we have to say, nobody. It made me think, well, if that's the man, then who the hell am I? And I found out that I was the slave. So I thank everyone in the nation that's putting forth work and effort to waken us up, and we are waking up. But we have to continue to work towards changing our people and teaching them to care, because you can't care if no one has ever taught you to care and that you should care. So I want to thank you for having me on, and definitely look forward to talking to you on my show one day. And,
yes, sir.
It will definitely be a pleasure, okay?
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for being part of Elevated Places, and we look forward to hearing from you again. And
yes, ma'am.
It is unfortunately time for us to close out. I want to thank the Elevated Places team, Dr. Ridley Muhammad, our analyst and EP contributor, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, and of course, our phenomenal IT specialist, Sister LaDonna Muhammad. And of course, without you, the listeners, I probably have the most brilliant and spiritual audience in the world, I guess because of the impact of the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan. And I thank him over and over again and thank Allah for him. And so as we sign off, may Allah bless all of you with love and the light of understanding. As I leave you in peace and look forward to being with you next Thursday. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us every Thursday here on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you are a member of our Blog Talk Radio family and you enjoyed the show today, mark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, the new era will be feminine in nature.